Good morning. Today, the service is mainly to consider truth. It has a different meaning for all of us. However, it is good to remember what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Paul tells us in Ephesians about the belt of truth. A belt is worn around the waist, keeping everything in place. It is therefore wrapped around us like God's truth. God's truth is our firm foundation. Today's reading is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 19, which is on page 1177 of the Church Bibles, The Armour of God. It starts. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. Amen.
Can I add my good morning as well and welcome to everyone? Okay, well, I have asked a couple of young people just to help us with a rather silly game. So Isla's going to come out. I'm hoping Zach will come out as well. Yeah, okay. And Mum's to come as well, please, if that's okay, because they need to help them. Okay, so really crazy game here. It's very simple. We've got two trays, and on these trays are a little garage with a car in. Okay, what's that got to do with the belt of truth? Nothing, but you'll see what happens soon. And I'm going to ask these two to carry their trays from that table to that table over there, where there are a packet of Haribos for each of them. Okay? So it's quite easy, really, isn't it? However, there is a catch. Who has heard of, I'm going to get this right, SpongeBob SquarePants? Okay, right, well, these two are going to be superheroes as well and wear some SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay, this is really, so I'm going to ask the mums just to help them get into these shorts. They are exactly the same size, just different colours. Okay. Oh. Okay, this is obviously slightly too large. And I've only got one belt. So one of them's going to have a belt to accomplish the task, and the other isn't. Oh, now, does that sound fair? No, but it will illustrate the point. Okay, so one mum is now just getting everything ready. Isla's going to be able to go across with the belt. Okay, and we're getting there. And right, both of you, can I just say, here are the rules. No running is allowed, okay? All you've got to do is get from one side to the other, and then you can get your Haribo. But obviously what we're aiming to do is get there with the garage still up and the car still in its garage, okay? Right, Isla, would you like to take the green garage? Would you like to take the blue one? Okay, here we go. So, just take your time. Oh, he's being really good here. Perhaps he is going to get there. Perhaps my point's not going to work now. He's too good. Oh, he's done it really well. Oh, give him a round of applause. That's really good. You can still both have your Haribos. Okay. That's really good. Well done. Go on, you've got your prizes. Well done, you've done the task. Okay. That was too easy, wasn't it? Okay, give him a round of applause again. Oh. And the shorts have now fallen down as he takes a bow. Okay. What I was hoping would happen, and I'm sure you were thinking, what I was hoping would happen, is it would be more difficult to get over there without the belt. But someone's skill was far too much for that. Okay. Yeah. Well done. Okay. So, could we have the first slide up on the top? Thank you. Okay, so I know that was a really silly game, and I hoped it would illustrate that actually, if you don't have the belt, things can be really difficult and fall apart. So you've got to imagine that actually the shorts fell down and it was really difficult to get across and the garage fell over, and anyway, that didn't quite work. But we'll move on. In today's reading, Paul uses the imagery of the Roman soldier, and as Roz has told us so clearly, everyone knew what a Roman soldier wore in those days, as Roman soldiers were everywhere. So as Paul's writing to the Ephesians, he's urging the church to put on the full armour of God. Now that sounds exciting. This is bold and strong image, encouraging us to stand firm in our faith. When you hear the word armour, you think of helmets, breastplates, shields and swords. And for some people, that would be really exciting, having those. Yeah, oh, let's put all of those things. And I can imagine the kids going into that armoury and wanting to pick up the swords and the shields and things like that. But Paul starts with the belt. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting or important, but is it? Irene read for us just before in our reading, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist." Why does Paul start with that belt? Well, as we've just seen, no, we haven't, but might have seen in the very silly game, that a belt is important in keeping things together. So, what is the belt of truth? I think it's best illustrated by a story. Now, young people as well, but anyone who likes ponies and horses? Okay, anyone like riding? Okay, oh, Michael does, right, okay. Good. Okay. Well, about 120 years ago, ponies were used to help get coal from the deep mines in South Wales up to the surface. Unfortunately, the pit ponies were not treated at all well by the men who worked in the mines. The men were unkind to the ponies, often shouting at them, beating them, and hurting them with sticks. But then an amazing thing happened. A revival of the church in South Wales. A young woman called Florrie Evans got up in church in 1904 and said these words, "I love Jesus with all my heart." This statement had a profound impact on the people in that meeting and was part of the reason, not all of it, but part of the reason why the beginnings of that great revival happened. Soon, many people were giving their lives to Jesus, and this kept going on for months and months, spreading from one community to another. So, okay, what's that revival got to do with ponies down in the mines? Many of the men who worked in the mines gave their lives to Jesus as this revival spread. And these men's lives were changed forever, including how they behaved. So instead of beating ponies, shouting and swearing at them, they treated them kindly. In fact, the ponies were so confused, they had to learn new commands because they'd often responded to the beatings instead of the kindness. So the ponies benefited, but also crime rates reduced significantly, and in some places there was no crime recorded for months on end. The police and the magistrates had no cases to try. The revival had an impact on family life as men stopped frequenting the pubs. People forgave each other over long-standing arguments which had turned into family feuds. In fact, the police had so little crime to deal with that they, and I want you to imagine this is in South Wales, Wales and they're singing, they had time, the police, to create their own church choirs. They'd got so much time. An article that I read about this said many people experienced a profound transformation in their lives with a renewed focus on faith and prayer. Irene, as she introduced our reading, reminded us that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These miners in Wales had the profound impact of Jesus now in their lives. Him, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' truth became so real for them, it changed them and the places that they lived in really powerfully. Without that truth, there had been crime, drunkenness, feuds, family difficulties, and even the pit ponies suffered. With Jesus' truth, Jesus' way of living life, they changed. Individuals, families, communities, and workplaces were transformed for the better. So although we didn't see it with the SpongeBob, SpongeBob SquarePants, that's hard to say. But even though we didn't see it there, without the belt of God's truth in society, things can fall apart. Things can get really difficult. And that's the same for our own families and our own individual lives. As many of us have heard, because Manda's reminding us very often, there's a quiet revival in our country right now. People are asking questions as they try to find the true answers to those questions in their lives. And there are all sorts of potential answers. There's people giving advice on the internet. You know, there's people like these influencers. Don't ask me because I don't know. I don't get it. But there's self-help books, meditation groups, health farms. People are searching. People want to know what that truth is. And they've got a spiritual hunger. Florrie Evans, as she spoke those precious words, "I love Jesus with all my heart," found the one real answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In the Welsh revival, so much of what was broken, difficult, and out of control turned to healing, right living, happiness, and peace. Jesus' truth made all the difference then, and it can make all the difference in this quiet revival going on now. Next slide, thank you. Wearing the belt of truth around our waist affects our whole lives. Wearing the belt of truth around our waist affects our whole lives. Without the belt of truth, life falls down. Things fall apart. With the belt of truth, life works the right way. Okay, where do we find Jesus' truth? I forgot to bring this up with me. It's in the Bible. God's truth is here for all of us. It's full of stories and instructions to help us understand who God is and what he's done through Jesus. In our reading, which goes on to say, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, Paul calls us to read, really, the Bible. I'm not going to elaborate too much because there's another group going to start talking about the word, a sword of the Spirit, another time. But it is worth pausing and emphasising an important connection between the belt of truth and the sword. Roz explained really well that the belt of the Roman soldier had different things attached to it, and one of those things was the sword. In the same way, the belt of truth that Paul is talking about is connected to the sword of the Spirit. The two connect together, they're intertwined. We read in John 16, verse 13, that Jesus said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." In fact, into all the truth. What Jesus is saying here is that the Holy Spirit will be right with us and working in our lives, guiding us to know what the truth is. Not any old truth, but the truth. The Holy Spirit came in great power in the lives of people in Wales, and the truth of Jesus changed those lives and their communities for good. Absolutely transformed. The same power of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us to guide us into all truth and change our lives for good. Next one, please. What does the Holy Spirit guide us into? Well, I've made a list there of what I think the world gives us and what Jesus gives us. Sin and brokenness replaced by forgiveness and love. That's a truth in Jesus. Despair replaced by hope. Fear and anxiety replaced by peace. Injustice and corruption replaced by justice and righteousness. Emptiness and a lack of fulfillment replaced by a fullness of life. Those are the things, and many, many more, that are the truth. So it seems, actually, that when I was saying, why did Paul put the belt of truth first? It's the best thing to put in first place. He started with the belt of truth because it supports everything else. It's the thing that holds everything together. One more thing to note. That belt that we've got up there, Ross pointed out that the belt had these leather straps hanging down. They're called the baltea, and as Roz explained, they marked the Roman soldiers out. the Balteas showed to everyone who they were and what they stood for. They showed their status. It made them stand out from the crowd. In the same way, wearing the belt of truth in our lives makes us stand out from the rest of the crowd. In the first days of the church, soon after the day of Pentecost, we read that, next slide please, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, the church, that they were highly regarded by all the people. How do people feel about us at St. Mary's? Do we stand out? Do they see that belt of truth, the truth of Jesus living in our lives? That's what he's calling us to. And that's what he wants to give us and for us to share as well. Now, just before we came out, Roz read the newspaper headlines. That's today's front page headline. Global crisis sending Gen Z to church. People are searching. They're looking for the truth. As with the young church in the Book of Acts and the church in South Wales during that revival, let's pray that Jesus' truth helps us to stand out from the crowd and help Gen Z to find that truth as we live it out here in Withall and Hollywood. Let's pray. Florrie Evans got up in a church meeting in 1904 and said, "I love Jesus with all my heart." Lord Jesus, we say in 2025, we love Jesus with all our heart. And we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will come and guide each one of us here into all truth and help us to live our lives out in those truths that others may see Jesus in us. And we ask that in his precious name. Amen.